everyone, and welcome to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast. Today, I'm happy to have the lead singer of Midnight City. Is it Wildy or Wild?
It's Wild.
Wild. Okay, I wasn't sure because there's an E on the end of it. I wanted to get it right. Mr. Rob Wildy, thank you for coming on the show and welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Jeremy. It's great to be on your show.
I've been listening to your music today. You guys have the old 80s Sunset Strip sound down to a pat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's a really good compliment. I mean, that's basically what it's all about, you know, and it's not trying to be anything other than you know, that good old kind of late 80s early 90s American hair metal. So
you know,
yeah.
In my opinion, Rob, there was no I'm 53 years old, and I started listening to I call it hair metal. A lot of people don't like it called that, but for purpose's sake, it's hair metal on my show. I've been listening to hair metal since I first heard Night Songs by Cinderella back around 85, and I would say it's the best decade to have been a teenager and the best decade of music in my opinion. And I'm glad there's bands like Midnight City that are out there, you know, keeping the sound alive.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same as you. I mean, I grew up on all the same stuff, you know. So I got into music when I was like, God, about nine years old. And well, I was listening to music before that, but I remember hearing Bon Jovi and Europe and Def Leppard around that time. And then the floodgates opened, and then it was, you know, you name a band from that era, and I'm kind of like the walking, talking encyclopedia of hair metal. So
see, that's how I am. My wife is like, you know, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? You know, as a teenager, if I could get my hands on a Metal Edge magazine or a Rip magazine, I read it from cover to cover. You know, just I love this stuff, and I would love to go on a trivia show one time and see how much I really do know, because I was always into the obscure bands.
Me too. Me too.
The Heaven's Edges, The Lion, The Leather Wolf.
Oh yeah.
I always loved bands like that.
Yeah, we could maybe go head to head on a quiz.
That would be cool. Like I said, I think I know a lot, and it's funny how your brain just retains stuff.
Useless information, really. That's basically what it is.
Hey, it works out great if you go to a bar, you know? Bar bench, yeah. Useless information. It works out great for you then.
Yeah, we get along great at a bar, me and you, I'm telling you.
Well, I just reading up on you a little bit here. You were in a you started a band called China Doll.
Yeah.
You were a Teenage Casket Company. Tell me about Teenage Casket Company.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been around a long, long time, Jeremy, you know, in many, many, many bands, you know, starting out like most kids, sort of, you know. I started playing guitar when I was 9 years old and started playing in bands when I was sort of like 13, 14, and going from band to band to band, too many to mention. But Teenage Casket Company was kind of a slightly different kind of band, because that was formed in the early sort of 2000s when, you know, the music that we love, you know, was just completely dead in the water. And it was just kind of it was a really depressing time, because you just, you know, you couldn't really play that music. So that was more of like a power pop sort of band, a little bit more sort of Cheap Trick, that kind of style. Really cool band. I mean, we did, you know, we were around for over 10 years. We did two American tours, and you know, went all over the place with that band, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. But right after that was when that kind of band came to an end. That's when I was like, you know what, I'm going to form the ultimate hair metal band, which is what Midnight City turned out to be.
You guys, I go on your website. I was on your website today, and I've listened to a lot of your albums, but There Goes the Neighborhood. I really like that one. Itch You Can't Scratch, Crawling in the Dirt. That's one of the coolest songs
Nice, man.
I believe I've ever heard. Because I live in North Carolina. I live in the South, and I've crawled in the dirt a few times as a teenager.
Me too, man.
You can
That's
always relate to things, you know.
yeah, exactly. Me too. Hence the song. But yeah, one of our kind of heavier songs. A little bit more kind of sleaze rock. In that sort of direction. But yeah, glad you like it. I like that one too.
Like I say, I like all your albums. Your albums are ones that you can just throw in there and just let them play. And like I say, it takes me back to better times when I was, just put gas in the car and rode around and cruised on Friday and Saturday night. And
Yeah.
but this the 80s genre, in my opinion, that's what it was all about. You didn't get in trouble. You weren't looking for trouble. You just wanted to have fun, and you threw some docking in your stereo. You threw some rad in your stereo, and just as played your radio as loud as you possibly could, and
Yeah,
that's.
that's it. And I was doing the exact same thing 3,000 miles away over here in the UK. So living the same life, and that's what it's all about, and what Midnight City Sound is all about. It's happy music, it's fun music. You come to one of our shows and everybody has just the best time. Everybody goes home with a big smile on their face, and also, like you said, a lot of our fans, we have some younger fans, but then we have some older fans as well who love us because, like you said, we remind them of, Danger Danger and Warrant
Right.
and Trickster and White Lion and all those bands, and that's one of the reasons they love the band so much is because there's nobody really doing that. Like we do it, we really do nail that sound, on the head, and I don't think there's a lot of bands trying to do it, but I don't think there's that many bands who are kind of really nailing that sound like we do, so I think that's why people like it. It just reminds them of those bands and good times in their life, when they're a little bit younger and a little bit more kind of carefree when the world was a better place, let's face it.
We go to a thing called M3. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's in
Yeah.
Maryland. We go to that every year, me and my wife, and I've listened to these bands for 40 years, and I've never seen them before. When I was
Yeah.
a teenager, bands came through North Carolina. I remember, I saw Bon Jovi and Skid Row, and it was the New Jersey tour. And Skid
Yeah.
Row had just came out with their debut album, and I mean, Skid Row wiped the floor with Bon Jovi. Once Skid Row was over with, once you hear, everything they sang on their first album, and then here comes Jon Bon Jovi out there, you kind of like, I've had enough. I saw all I needed to see. But seeing bands like that, and the good thing about M3 and just concerts that I've gone to lately, it's what you just said. There might be an 11-year-old kid walking around out there with a Vane t-shirt on or
Yeah.
a Leatherwolf t-shirt, and then there's mom and dad that are my age or a little bit older, and they have their Leatherwolf t-shirt from 1986 that they still
Yeah.
have, And this music and it's the community of this kind of music. It makes me happy that like I said, bands like yourself are doing it. There are other bands out there that have the sound, but like I say, you guys could walk right into 1987 Hollywood Sunset Strip, walk right in and just take over.
Yeah, that would be the dream, wouldn't it? If only we could get in a time machine and go back then, we'd probably have sold a million albums by now, but
Well,
there you go.
You steal my thunder because I say on my podcast all the time, my podcast is not one of these big productions. It's just a guy that loves this music, that loves to talk to people like yourself, people that I'm surprised that some of the people that'll come on the show, they're like, I interviewed Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys
Yeah.
about a month ago. And we started the podcast out just like you and I did. He's like, "Man, this is nice." He's like, "There's no take one, take two. Can you do
Yeah.
this for me?" But my point is, if I could build a time machine, just like you said, I would love to go back to 86, 87, and walk the Sunset Strip and get all the bands sticking flyers in my face. Come see
Yeah.
us play. Just experience that whole thing and
That was it, man. I mean, the exact same. I wish that could happen. Unfortunately, it's not 1987, but in my head, it's always 1987. You know what I mean?
I know, right? Yeah,
And
when
our music is always 1987. I mean, our last album, for example, In at the Deep End, which we released about 2 years ago. I mean, that's the you're not going to get any more of an 80s sounding album than that. You know what I mean? And we actually really, when we recorded that album, we really, really, went old school. We used all the old guitar sounds. We used the same sort of kind of we re-triggered the drums so they kind of sounded a little bit like Def Leppard's drums on Adrenalize and stuff like that. And we, it couldn't have been any more, 80s. And we actually asked the guy who mixed the album. He's actually a really well-known guy, a guy called Chris Laney, who he's actually, I think he plays guitar in Pretty Maids now. He's worked with everybody, like literally everybody. And we got him to mix our last album. And before he started it, he said, "Well, what kind of sound do you want?" And we just said, "Make it as 80s as possible, and that's it. We don't want it to sound like it's coming out today. We want it to sound like it's 1988." And so there you go. So in you're definitely preaching to the choir, Jeremy.
I love how you rattle off. You like I could sit down at a bar with you and have a whole lot of fun with you, sir. I love how you just casually rattling off, bands like White Lion, bands like blah. I love it because, like I say, I don't. I live my life, but I have to do what I do every day, just like you do as well. But when I get up every day, my body might feel like it's 53, but when I get up every day, sir, I'm 17 years old, and
Yeah.
I still collect, if I can, find Metal Edge magazines on eBay,
Me too.
Rip
Me too.
magazine, those kinds of things. And
Yeah, I'm the same.
but they tell you not to stay stuck in time, but you know what? Being stuck in the 80s is not a bad thing. And it's not just, the music. It was just, the 80s were just, it was a fun time, and
It was great for everything, movies, TV,
sure.
just everything was better, wasn't it? So, I mean, that's why I still kind of like live like it is the 80s, and it's kind of, I'm too old to change now as well, so it's kind of, I've got way past that point of changing, so I'm going to be stuck like this, for the
Yeah,
foreseeable future.
I'm not gonna change either. I told my wife, I was like, I always wanted to do, I always wanted to, what I'd love to do is I envy the guys on Hair Nation on satellite radio. Just being a DJ and playing the junk you just love to hear. I'm friends with Mark Striegel. He's on there on the weekends, and he's on like Ozzy's Boneyard and stuff like that. And I'm strung up a relationship with him, and he's a lot like you, but he's younger, so he knows a lot of the 90s, the 2000s kind of stuff. I stopped at around 91.
I go to about 92, and then there's a cutoff, because there was a couple of good albums in 92. Warrant's Dog Eat Dog, there was Wild Side, Under the Influence. Trickster's second album was great in 92, but then that was kind of like the cutoff point for me. It was all over after that, wasn't it? So
Well, I hope you make a good living doing what you're doing, playing the music from three, almost 4 decades ago. I really hope you do. I mean, I imagine it'd be a lot of fun. I
it
don't know
is.
what it feels like to be. What is it like to be? What is it like to be Rob Wild? What is it like to be you? I mean, how do you go from everyday life, your normal life, to getting ready to go out on stage?
It's a you know what? That's a really good question, because like most musicians, I have to do a few different things to kind of make a living doing this, because anybody that says that they can make a living doing this is full of crap, because they can't. Everybody's doing something else. So me, for example, obviously I have Midnight City. I have a Poison tribute band that I
Really?
obviously play in. I go out on my
What
own. I
is your
do,
role in the Poison Tribute Band? Who are you?
of course, I'm Bret
Bret
Michaels.
Michaels, all right.
So and that's great, because that's a lot of fun, because it's a band that I grew up idolizing when I was a kid. And then I go out on my own. I do solo acoustic shows. So I've played with everybody from, I did a tour with Ted Poley a couple of years ago. I toured with Mike Tramp, obviously from White Lion. The list goes on and on and on. So I do that as well. I also teach guitar and bass as well, and it's kind of like spinning a lot of different plates that affords me to be able to go out and do what I really love doing, which is Midnight City, but for me, there is nothing better than doing that. I mean, it's my the band I always wanted to put together.
Sure.
I believe in it so much, and I'm so passionate about it, and when I go on stage, I think everybody gets that, with the band, and everybody's so I don't think you can really fake that kind of thing. If you really mean it, people connect with it, and it seems to be working, because I mean, we've played, we've been to Japan a couple of times, and we're actually coming to America in March. We're doing the
Are
Monster
you?
Rock Cruise.
Oh, you got to be on the Monsters of Rock cruise?
So it seems like, we've done a ton of other stuff as well, but it really seems like, obviously it's never going to be mainstream like it was back in the day, but there is definitely a market for it. There are people that genuinely still love this music, and even some younger kids that are getting into it as well. But like I said, just backtracking a little bit, everybody in this business has got to do other things to kind of, keep ticking along, but as soon as I'm in the zone, once I've warmed up my voice and I'm ready, and I've got the eyeliner on, then I'm ready to go out and destroy on
Destroy.
stage. You know what I mean? It's kind of like eye of the tiger moment,
Well, you're doing something you love to do. You've heard the old saying, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's right. That's right.
But and you you know it, it's neat that you've worked with so many other artists being solo. I mean, just looking at you, you're a well-rounded musician. You sing, you play bass, you play guitar. Do you play drums too? Look at you. See, you could go out there. You remember, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, with the guys back in the 50s that had a drum here, and they had the cymbals here, and they had horns on their feet, and they sang. You're a one-man band.
That'll be me in like 20 years from now when it all goes to
When your bones crack and pop just a little too much, you got to slow down.
That'll be me doing, I'll be out there doing winger songs.
Doing winger songs. It's funny you talk about winger. I think Winger was an excellent band. They are so talented, but yet they got the bad rep from Beavis and Butthead, the little kid next door wearing the Winger t-shirt. I read in a book that they were on tour playing 30,000 people. And believe it or not, that kid on MTV put a bad mark on Winger, and their total started going down. And Kip Winger said towards the end of it, from 30,000 people, they were playing to 5,000 people, or couldn't even get enough people to come to the show, all because of a cartoon.
That was bad. I remember reading about that. That was bad. And the whole Beavis and Butthead thing, they totally went for the wrong band,
Sure.
and I love every single band from that genre, but and I like this band, but I think out of all the bands, they could have gone for, someone like Nelson or some,
Nelson.
or
Yeah,
Or
right.
even, I like Nelson, but
Yeah.
they probably would have been a better kind of
Sure.
shot rather than picking on probably the most musically talented band of the entire genre, but yeah, it just shows you the power of, I mean, the power of TV, how, one little cartoon can just finish a band's career. Pretty bad.
What's the first concert you ever went to?
First concert was Europe. You remember the band Europe,
Oh
Swedish
yeah.
band?
Oh yeah.
So I was, because the thing is, over here in the UK, a lot of the, because I used to live in the States for quite a long time ago, but I lived over there. I had a really good friend of mine, who's similar age to me, and he would tell me all about growing up, coming home from school and putting on MTV, and all the bands that we're talking about would be on TV. It wasn't really like that in the UK. We read about all that stuff in magazines, but the only bands that really sort of exploded big were the big bands, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, Guns N' Roses, those type of bands. Again, backtracking a little bit, but the first rock band that I ever got into was Europe, because they had a number one single in the UK with The Final Countdown, and I became a big fan of that band, especially the album After the Final Countdown, Out of This World. And my mum took me to see them because I was only a little kid. I was 11 years old, and yeah, that was my first concert, and that was the night when I'd already decided, because I'd started playing guitar and stuff a little bit before that, I'd already decided that I wanted to be, a rock star, But that night was, when I went to see Europe. I think that happens for a lot of guys, doesn't
Sure.
it? When you first see that, I remember them. I can't remember what song they opened up with, but I remember them, like the pyro went off and they all came running down the staircases, and I was just like, in that moment, that split second, I just, that's it. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life, So that was
John
it.
Norum is an excellent guitarist for Europe, and I really enjoyed when him and Don Dokken and Mikey D, they formed Don Dokken Band, and they put out Up from the Ashes. And I'm thinking to myself, that's got to be one of the best sounding albums I have ever heard. Because John Norm, he's just a crazy good guitarist, just
He's great.
smooth. And that was an all-star band put together right there. But it paid off with the sound they got. But everybody remembers the Final Countdown. I mean, even here when you go to one of the Hurricanes hockey games here, you hear the Final Countdown playing. It's kind of like Rocky Like a Hurricane. Where do you not go that you don't, hear
It
Rocky Like a Hurricane? So.
gets overused a little bit, that song,
Sure,
but
sure.
what was your first concert then? What
My
was
first concert was when I, believe it or not, it was small. We had a little club down the road here in Fayetteville called the Flaming Mug, and it was actually a major pit stop for the hair metal bands back in the day. And how's 12th grade? A bunch of my friends, we went down there and we actually saw Sabotage and a band called Cold Sweat, which
Oh,
had
yeah, with Mark Ferrari, right?
and that was when their first, look at you, Mark Ferrari. Yeah, there you go. That
From
was,
Keel.
yeah, from Keel. They opened up for Sabotage when their breakout album came out, and that's the closest I've ever been, because I mean the Flaming Mug's probably about as big as this bedroom. It had a pool table and a bar. And
Great.
either you were in the military, you had long hair, but see, my parents were pretty strict. They wouldn't let my hair grow out. But I had friends in school back then in like 87, 88. Everybody wanted to start a band up in high school, and some of them probably couldn't get enough pennies in a hat for people passed out to buy a coat. But I had a couple of friends that were in bands, and in a band, they were really good. They could listen to something and pretty much play it, But that was the first concert I saw. Was lucky enough to see Bon Jovi and Skid Row, like I said. And the only reason
Awesome.
why I got to go to that was it was supposed to be on a Friday night, right? Well, Friday night it snowed like 8 inches of snow here, so they postponed it to the next day. And me and my next door neighbor, we begged our parents to let her older sister take us to Raleigh to see it. And tickets were like half price because nobody was going to come because of the snow. But so I saw Bon Jovi and Skid Row. Of course, we go to M3 every year. And when's the last time you guys were in the States playing?
Well, I've the first time for Midnight City will be in March. We've never been to America before. I've been to I toured with one of my old bands, like I said, did two American tours with them, but that was way back in like 2005, 2006. And then I lived in America for about 3 years from 2007 to 2010. And played, and I had a band around that time, so played a lot in the States then. And then the last time I actually was in America, before that was, I used to play in a band called Tiger Tales, which you might maybe I'm sure you're aware of. And we actually did the Kiss Cruise in 2014 in Miami. So that was for me. I'm like such a big Kiss fan, so that was the last time, but playing out in the States was when we did the Kiss Cruise. So yeah, very much looking forward to coming back for sure.
Now, are you just coming over here just for the cruise, or are you guys actually going to tour while you're here? Are you just coming for the cruise?
Unfortunately, it's quite, it's expensive, and it's very hard for bands like us to come over and do stuff like that. Just the logistics of putting it all together, and so we'll have to see what happens. I mean, if this goes well, then fingers crossed we might come back again and do some more dates. We're always getting people, asking us when we're going to come over, but it's just it's a bit tricky. So we're going to test the water with this, and we'll go from there.
I talked to Danny Vaughn from Taketo. I interviewed him last year. He said the very same thing you said. I asked him, I said, oh, will you guys ever come to tour? He's like, probably the only way we would ever come over there and tour It's like a mosh, it's a rock cruise or a big festival. He's like, it's too much money for, because he's like, we don't play all the time. We play festivals in Europe and it keeps us busy. He's like, but it's too much time and money for everyone to come up to be able to fly over there, get your gear over there, get
Yeah,
everything
exactly.
set up. He's like, unless they're going to completely pay for the entire trip, he's like, we stay right here. He lives in Spain. He's like, but we play festivals, all over Europe, when we stay busy. You guys over in Europe, there's a lot of festivals over there that I just see on, Instagram, Facebook, that kind of thing. But here, you have rock. They used to have Rocklahoma is what they called it, and
Yeah, I
it
remember
was
that.
all hair metal bands. But now it's migrating into 90s and 2000s, and of course you have M3, and we're waiting to see who's going to be there. And from what we understand, they're getting some 90s people in there, and that'd be a kind of a turn off for me, because that's not the reason why I go,
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
but
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, that over in Europe, though, I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, we're constantly on different festivals around Europe, and it's yeah, it's good for us because of, like I said earlier, how expensive it is to go to the States. But in Europe, it's relatively, you can do it quite easy, and really for what we're doing, Europe is sort of where everything's happening. So and being from the UK, we're kind of in a good place because Europe's not, everything's kind of roughly about a 3 or 4 hour flight, if that, so it makes it a lot easier,
I'm surprised at how big hair metal still is in Europe, in Asia. I mean, everybody wants to go to Japan to tour,
yeah.
because I mean, they still treat them like it's 1980 over there, the rock stars, even though they're probably they're so much older. But over here, you've lived in the States before. People are so go with the times. I mean, this is over with, this is new. Okay, that's over with, this is new.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
like when, I talk to a lot of people, and like we talk towards 89, 90, 91, MTV. I talked to Mark Scott from Trickster, the drummer from Trickster, and he said,
Love Trickster.
they were told, by their manager that MTV was told not to play any more hair metal videos, period.
Yeah,
It went
that was
straight
it.
to Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam. But he said the neat thing about it was they were still selling out 30,000 seat venues in 93, 94, but MTV wasn't pumping it out. And if you don't
Yeah.
have exposure, back then you didn't have a telephone where you could post something on Instagram and 1 million people would see it in 2 seconds.
Yeah. It's funny you should actually talk about Trickster because I love Trickster, and last year I actually did a show with Steve and PJ. They came over to the UK and did kind of like a it was sort of like a three-piece kind of like wasn't an acoustic thing. It was kind of like a little bit more chilled out. I think they're doing it around the States at the minute, aren't they? And it was great. Played a show in London with them, and got to spend quite a lot of time with them, and they were great guys, really really nice guys. And I was always a big fan of that band. I thought they were a really underrated band.
See, they came around and they were considered hair metal, I guess, but yet they were wearing a flannel shirt and blue
Yeah,
jeans.
they started it off. They were
Yeah.
the first guys to wear the flannel shirts, and then
I
yeah,
talked to PJ. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
they probably regretted that because a couple of years
Yeah.
later, all those bands finished their career. So
Yes. Mark Scott told me that, you were talking about MTV. I'll talk about MTV for a second. When I was in high school, Saturday night, you didn't care what else was going on. You were home by the time the Headbangers Ball came on. And I mean, the Headbangers Ball did so much good for these, for so many bands, because they didn't just play Rat, Doc, and Warren. This is where I learned about King Diamond. This is where I learned about Vicious Rumors. You know, this is where I learned about Bad, they sang Badlands. I can't remember the name of the group, a heavier group. But that's how they went from bubblegum to glam to hair to harder. And even in high school, I remember coming home from high school, and there was a show on MTV called The Hard 30. And they would cram 30 minutes in there. And then you had the hit clip of the week, Dial MTV. But what I was going to say is, Mark said that Give It To Me Good actually reached number one on the Dial MTV charts and broke a record for how many people called. And then 2 weeks later, MTV quit playing hair metal videos. It's crazy how a music genre, and I guess people from the 60s, you know, 50s was a doo-wop, great music out of the 50s, the sound that came out. 60, 70, I guess they all feel the same way people from the 80s feel. Well, you know, our music drifted away, and here come, you know, rock and roll, big hair. But it's funny how genres just die.
I think it was just nobody was more upset than me when it died. But I think, like everybody says, it was just because of every single band started sounding and looking the same. But I've got to admit, I loved a lot of those really late bands, those bands from, just off the top of my head, like Roxy Blue and
Roxy Blue came out,
Southgang and all
South
those
Gate,
bands, those bands that came out in like 1991, that were blamed for finishing off the hair metal thing. I loved those bands. I thought they were great. And yeah, of course, they all sounded like, they either sounded like Poison, or they sounded like Bon Jovi, or they sounded like Guns N' Roses. They were kind of one of those three. But I loved them. I thought they were all great. I could have listened to another 300 bands doing the same thing, but I think people, for the most part, got sick of hearing the same thing, and then it kind of time for something new. So that's what happened, really.
Two of my favorite bands at the very, very end of everything was a band called Bangalore Choir.
Oh, great. On target,
David Reese, you know, he sang on the Generation Clash album. He was singing with Accept at the time. And another band that came out of there that I really like, of course, was Heaven's Edge.
They were great. They
And
were
there
great.
was one more, and I don't re I didn't realize till I went back and looked how many albums were actually that I my favorite bands, they actually came out in 89, and I have to look back and see the dates on things, and like, wow, that was 89, but it just seemed like it went on and on. But yeah, there was a lot of great bands. Oh, there was a band called Saints and Sinners that came out at the
That's
end
a
of the era.
great album.
You like
That's a
that?
oh yeah, with the red car on the front with
Yeah, and
Saints and
it
Sinners.
scratched in there. Yeah, they have a song on there called Frankenstein. And a lot of people don't even know who, a lot of people don't even know who they are. And on my Instagram page, I try to post obscure stuff on there. Saints and Sinners got posted one day, and it rip it up, tear it out,
That's
wash it
great
down with a
song.
shot of tequila. I played that. I put a video clip of that on there. People are hitting me up, be like, who is this band? Check them out. You know, I wish me posting stuff would boost these guys, and maybe it does. Who knows? They'll go out and buy their album. I don't know how royalties work 40 years later. I really don't know. But iTunes, you know, they get money off of iTunes and stuff like that. So you're an interesting guy. I have followed you. I followed you on Instagram for a pretty good while. I know we have talked before, and just through, Instagram messaging all, because I saw you guys on Instagram and heard you. I was like, wow, These guys are something else. And just like I say, going back on your website today, and I picked on one of your albums, just hit play, and it was doing things around the house here and turning my speakers wide open. I really like your music, man. I get nervous when I talk to people because you really don't know how a person is till you talk to them. You're about the nicest fella I've ever talked to.
Oh, likewise, mate. I mean, at the end of the day, honestly, I really appreciate you digging the music. But it's like, yeah, I just love, even if we weren't talking about my band, I just love talking about hair metal, so I could sit here for another 5 hours and talk
I
to you,
know, right? I don't keep up with the music scene nowadays. I really
Yeah.
don't. There's some
I
cool,
doubt it's like that anymore, to be honest, but yeah.
We still go to whatever we can find that comes close to here. We went and saw Wasp last year in Raleigh.
Cool.
Seeing Blackie, I've never seen Blackie Lawless before, but the band he's got with him is tight. Armored Saint was with him. I've never seen Armored Saint before. M3
Yeah.
every year, and
You're
it's
living it. You're living it,
huh?
mate. That's good. That's good to, yeah, I'm glad you're getting out to see these bands because, I'm doing the same. The bands that we get a few of those bands over here as well. So I'm always, if there's somebody coming around, I'll always go and check them out. It's great. I just love hearing, all the favorite tunes, from back in the day. It's great.
That's we went to the stadium tour with
Oh,
Motley Crue. Okay,
yeah.
well, that was postponed for almost 3 years because of COVID. That's fine. So we finally get to it, and I'll tell you what, I've never saw Poison before, but Poison was the best band out of Motley Crue and Def Leppard. Joan Jett, they were the best band out there. Bret
Yeah.
Michaels was a showman. He puts on a good show. And I was
He's
glad to you see them for the first time. But Def Leppard, I've always been a Def Leppard fan, but I'm like this, and I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but if you're an 80s band, go out there and play what people want to hear.
Yeah.
Don't play your new album that I hate to tell you, nobody's buying it.
Yeah,
I
no,
mean,
nobody cares. Nobody cares about it,
I don't mean to
They
be
don't.
cruel, but you had to wait through their whole set till they finally played Photograph and Foolin', which I mean,
Yeah.
I understand as an artist, you want to keep people there as long as you can because they want to hear those two songs.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand that. That's what it's all about. But anyway, the band at M3, those bands, they go out there and they just crank what they've played for the last 30 or 40 years. They're not putting out any new albums per se, so it's good to like Y&T. I've been a big Y&T fan for a long time, and Dave Menichetti is such a great guitarist. He played Summertime Girls, Contagious,
Yeah,
just
great
everything.
stuff.
Yeah. And
All
I
the
was
good
there
songs.
singing, and my wife's like, "I'm glad you're having a good time because I have no idea, never heard that song before." I'm sliding my wife in little by little. She thinks it's funny at M3. I'm sitting there and I'm like a hawk. I'm constantly looking, and I'm like, "Okay, there's so and so. Okay, here comes so and so walking up the stairs." And I'm an autograph collector.
I love that.
I
I
love to
love
get
it.
close enough to these people that. Like I say, you've been a fan for somebody for 40 years, and you finally meet them, and you really don't know what to say. And that's why I have my wife with me. She initiates conversations for me so I don't stammer, and you know what I
Oh
mean?
man. No, that's cool though. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I mean, I'm still a massive fan of bands, even though, I do this. This is what I do, and we have kids coming up to us after gigs and, really excited to meet us. But to me, I'm still in awe of my heroes when I was 14 years old are still my heroes now, you know, and I still I've been lucky enough to meet the majority of them and play with a lot of them and tour with a lot of them. But that never gets away from me, and it always kind of keeps you sort of grounded, you know what I
Sure.
mean? Because if you the day you don't have heroes is, you
I
know,
know, right?
the day's over, really, as far as
Yeah.
I'm concerned. You know, you always
The
have to have somebody that you look up to, and you know, you and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
days the excitement is gone kind of takes the fun out of it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, when I met, you know, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons on the Kiss cruise, I mean, I was just like, you know, I was like a little 12-year-old girl, you know. It's like,
Oh, yeah.
luckily I didn't say much because I was completely starstruck. You know, I've idolized these guys since I was like 10 years old, and here I am, you know, having ch talking to Paul Stanley about, you know, what we'd been up to that day. And it was just kind of like, whoa, that's kind of like one of those. And that's happened with so many, you know,
Sure.
and most of them, I'd say nine out of 10 of them, they're all really, really lovely guys, you know. I don't, maybe I might have met one guy that was a bit of an idiot, but apart from that, you know, pretty much all those guys I idolized, you know, they're all really nice guys, you know, they're nice people, and they appreciate people like you going up to, you
Right.
know, so don't ever feel like, you know, nervous about it, because they, trust me, they love that stuff when someone like you goes up and chats to them and wants their autograph. You know, that's what, you know, keeps them ticking over, you know.
Well, sir, you're such a nice gentleman, and I'm honored to have met you. Like I said, I followed you on Instagram for a year and a half now, and thought I would take a chance and say, hey, I'm going to ask you what he liked to do the podcast. Probably ain't the best podcast you've ever been on, but I do hope you had fun.
I've had a great time. This has been so much fun, mate. Honestly, it's been like talking to like a long lost hair metal brother. You know what I mean? So, and we'll keep in touch. Don't worry. We'll continue talking. So, and thanks so much for having me. You know, and whatever you do, don't lose your passion for this music, because it was the best music, wasn't it? Let's face it.
I totally agree. Best music in my way. Anybody in whatever era they grew up in is going to say the same thing. But I can honestly say the 80s was it was great, and I'm so glad you guys are still. Midnight City is out there. If you want to hear, folks, if you want to go back to the 80s and you want to feel like you're on the Sunset Strip, if you want to go back to the 80s and remember what it felt like when you were 16 years old, cruising around on Friday night, you need to listen to Midnight City, and they'll take you back to, trust me, a whole lot better place and time than what where we're at now.
Absolutely,
Thank you
man.
so
Thank
much.
you.
Thank you so much, sir, for being on a podcast.
You're
Good luck
welcome,
to
buddy.
you. Good luck on the cruise. Be safe.
Yeah, I'll try not to fall in
Don't
the
fall in the water, and
water.
I hope you meet a lot of the people you've always wanted to meet. I hope you feel like me and sit there and I don't know what I'm going to say to this person, but I'm going to get my picture with him and I'm going to get his autograph one way or another.
Absolutely, mate. You got it.
You take care, sir.
You too, bud.
Thank you. God bless you, and thank you again.
You're welcome, mate.